Welcome to the Around the Bases podcast. I am Tim Sternberg, along with my co-host,
Charlie Seymour. And we also have a special bonus co-host for today's episode. Please welcome another member of the We Are Family community, also from the A Block. Here is Frank.
Woo, Frank! Welcome, buddy!
Hey, A Block to represent.
How you doing?
Charlie knows what time it is.
That's right. For anyone,
I'm doing marvelous.
For anyone who is just listening today on Spotify and or whatever service you're using and not looking at the video, Frank tapped his watch because we were not allowed to wear electronic devices, and I only have an Apple Watch, so I was always clueless on what time it was. Luckily, my good friend Frank, who was right in front of me, had a watch and didn't mind me bothering him about 72 times saying, "Hey, Frank, what time is it?" So we would just always tap the watch.
It would become a time warp.
I know.
It would be a time warp in here. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. What time is it? I'm so glad that was part of my wardrobe. So glad.
I know. And then by the end of it, I felt like, okay, I've asked him so many times, I got to do something. And when we had our We Are Family hit Secret Santa, it also happened to be Frank's birthday in that window. So when I saw on his wish list, he had a San Francisco 49ers band for his Apple Watch, I'm like, I absolutely have to get that for him after how many times I asked him what time it was.
Yes. So, thank you so much. Well, and
I'll secondary thank you, Frank, because I used to ask Charlie in the warehouse. That's the holding place for everyone who doesn't know. That's what I call it. What time it is. Does he know what time it is? And he goes, "Oh, this guy has a watch on." I'm like, "Oh, really?" And he would tell me what time it is.
It was the best.
Thank you.
It made some of those were like 4 or 5 hour filming per episode. It really helped knowing what time it was and where we were going, how close we were to a bathroom break and all that. So
your life saver, those were the days.
Those were the days. It was a very interesting experience overall. There's a lot that can be said about it, but we'll just say those are the days.
Yes.
Frank, excuse me. Whoa. See, I still have the cold. You see, I'm still battling. Frank, tell us about yourself, bro. Well, like, what got you into like wanting to audition for We Are Family, and like, what's your background? I know you're a 49ers fan. That much I know.
Yes. So, Frank, I'm originally from Philly, but I currently live in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is, if clones exist, this is Plymouth Rock. It's insane. Everybody dresses the same. Everybody likes the same stuff. And I work in a pretty trendy bar restaurant. Shout out to Dilworth Tasting Room. When I started, I was a mixologist. Now I am assistant GM over there. So, you know, little promotion, moving on up. You know, we're doing a 70s theme song, moving on up, moving on up.
Yeah,
gotta love it. Which was funny because I just watched The Killer, the movie that was starring Michael Fassbender
and David Fincher. Netflix.
One of the gimmicks was different names from 70s characters like Felix Unger and George Jefferson and Archie Bunker and stuff like that. So 70s sitcoms on the brain a little bit. But yeah, and so segueing into that, that's the thing. I'm a big pop culture guy. I've always been since I was a kid. You know, growing up 80s, you had your TV, you know, you had your music guys, your Michael Jacksons, your Princes, Madonna, Bruce Springsteen, movies, of course. I got my Eddie Murphy shirt on. Y'all know how much I love Eddie Murphy.
Yeah,
you know?
We're definitely going to have you do that. We have. There it is.
You know,
he did this on set. We were dying. Oh my gosh. You can do it again. We may have overshadowed.
Yeah,
a little.
Go ahead. Do it.
Do it one more time.
You know, we'll have plenty of opportunity to break out the laugh. You know,
perfect. You know what's amazing? I'm glad, speaking of that real quick, I'm glad the network released that extra footage that people got to see. I'm sad it wasn't on the actual show, but I'm glad they released that.
I feel like there were so many moments on the show that they could have done, instead of a rerun, they could have like slid in a bunch of outtakes from all these great moments that they didn't get to air. And that would have been, I think that would have helped boost the show going forward because people would have had a better sense of some of the characters and entertainment value of some of the people in the audience. Because there were so many of us and we didn't really all get to shine, but we had so many layers and humorous moments and heartfelt moments and stuff. I feel like that would have been really cool. But I am glad they got to show that and yeah. I got to see it myself because it was a fun moment.
Maybe behind the scenes on Hulu when it's all said and done.
I would love that. That bonus would be awesome if they did that. Yeah,
that would be dope. But to answer your previous question, because I'm such a pop culture guy and I used to have a previous podcast too and stuff, so my feed is inundated with game show stuff, pop culture stuff, extras for things like that. And so this one kind of overlapped because I got one on Instagram and I got an email. And so I signed up for them both. And it turns out there was the same thing for this pop culture guru show. It was like, are you a pop culture guru? I'm like, I think so. And so I submitted this stuff and then I put out a video and the video had like Mission Impossible theme song and all of like my pop culture shirts. It's kind of like my credentials and the different styles because I'm into all kinds of different levels of pop culture, except reality TV mixes me up a little bit. That I'm not as into that, but I went through all these processes and it was like a year and change. And I did all these different interviews. And when they finally got us the itinerary and I'm on the flight to Atlanta, I'm like, well, this is real. Okay, let's go. Let's go.
You were like, were you like one of those people too? I read an article recently. I think John Luke was interviewed or something. He's like, he didn't realize it was real until he actually was there because like, and I've heard that story from a number of contestants. Like they thought it was some kind of, scam or something.
I at first I thought that I was concerned when I had to fill out that long background check. I was like, this is a lot of information I'm giving somebody. I thought long and hard. I talked to some lawyer friends and stuff, and so I was like, okay. When we got the NDA that we had to sign the initial one that was saying all these things like they can disgrace and embarrass you and stuff, I was like, nah, I think this is real. I think we're gonna be on pop.
That'd be a lot of
and I don't know if I want to do this or not. In fact, yeah. I forget who I called. I think it was Mason. I called and I was like, hey man, what kind of stuff y'all got going on this show, you know? And he was like, can't say too much, but it's a game show, not a reality show. I promise you, it is not a reality show. It is a game show, but that's our standard reality contract. That's when I really started thinking it was real, when I started looking into who the people were that we were talking to and checking their background and seeing the shows that they worked on and things of that nature. So, yeah, not quite when I got on the flight, but there was some skepticism for sure.
Yeah,
I mentioned this earlier. I got laid into it late in the process. I was actually under consideration for The Floor, which is another game that's on Fox right now too. And when I filled out the application for We Are Family, you know, they got to the background check part and they're like, oh, you just have to fill out this quick form, and it was literally a one pager because they used my background check from The Floor. So at least I didn't have to go through that thing again, but it was a similar, yeah, I was like, what the heck? Like, wow.
It was a lot.
I was in Frank's boat. My process was well over a year long.
Yeah.
Like a year and a half even. And then here comes Tim just swooping in at the end.
August 1st, I applied. I got a call.
Wow.
That's crazy. That,
from Mason called. That is crazy. Day. And, you know, 2 weeks later, I find out that everyone was cast and I was like, okay, I'm not going to be on the show. And then about 2 weeks later, I get a text from Mason saying, are you still interested in We Are Family? I'm like, yeah. And so that's kind of what led the ball rolling to me being in Atlanta and, you know, whatever happened. But yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So it's a interesting little journeys that we've been on to get on this amazing show. With all the criticisms and complaints and whatnot that anybody could make of anything, I think this show has really just been a light for a lot of people, and just has, you know, given us some joy in a time, you know, in times where, you know, joy is not always an easy asset to get, so to speak. And you know, I personally have really gotten a lot of just awesomeness out of it just by meeting people like you guys and, you know, just having these connections,
Absolutely.
you know.
Definitely.
Absolutely. That's, you know, meeting each other. That was like the jewel of this. The you know, the experience was interesting, like you said. Very, very interesting. You know, I enjoyed it, but the best part was meeting all of these fascinating people from all of these different parts of the country and all these different backgrounds, professionally, culturally, and bonding and becoming a family. Like, we are family refers to the celebrity and the relative, but we became family in the audience and in the hotel and all of that. And, you know, it's interesting because tonight, not without going too much into it, was a moment where it really felt like we became family. We were family, you know, so, and that was a great moment.
You can get into it because this podcast isn't going to air until tomorrow. So it is not going to be out until tomorrow. So the show will air already. And then Kenny is tonight's star player. It was the first episode that was taped.
Kenny is tonight's star player.
Yeah.
Charlie lost and I were not our mind when he
went. Yeah, I'm excited to see it for the first time. Like, I know the story and I've heard that everyone started chanting Kenny. But so, like, this will all be new to me. I'm excited to watch his episode.
Yeah, we weren't. Charlie and I were not in the studio.
Yeah.
This is the last one. I wasn't there for the taping, so I'm really excited to see it.
Yeah,
I remember going across the way to your guys' hotel after that night and meeting Kenny and getting to talk to Kenny. And I'm like, man, I wish I would have got to know you sooner. And I'm so for me, this is going to be brand new. So I'm really excited to watch tonight's.
Yeah,
so
Cohen's
you came on Charlie in episode.
I was episode.
You
three.
Were in episode three.
Yeah, I replaced Cohen after.
Yeah,
Cohen
so won. You took Cohen's place.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I didn't come on until episode five.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. So I'm really looking forward to this. Is the last one last week and then tonight's were the two
that's
that I was
there for.
Next week's episode is a finale, which we've talked about, hosted by Joel McHale. Those were my first two episodes.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited to see Kenny's moment. Yeah.
And those were two great episodes to debut on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Joel-hosted episodes were a lot of
they're
fun.
They're great. Wow. They're so much fun. Yeah. I'm looking forward to those episodes very much. One episode I did really well, and one I did not.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would say that the one you're referring to where you did not was maybe the hardest episode in terms of overall players getting answers correct. It's got to be that one or the one we already saw with Lauren Elena.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was there's for the audience out there, next week's finale, there is a moment of interesting confusion, I will say, in next week's episode, and we'll talk more about it in the next podcast. Well, not in the next one, but the one after. You know, and speaking of next podcast, you know, Charlie and I, we're gonna do this podcast live on Instagram next Tuesday night after the floor ends. We're gonna do a live version of this. So please come back and join us. Frank, and you know, I mean, we're just gonna have a good old time.
We'll do.
I know you don't watch The Floor, like, but just talking about,
I have not watched The Floor.
Pop culture. It's a good show, I will say, even though they didn't cast me, you know.
You know what's funny is I would say probably the majority of the people that applied for We Are Family probably felt The Floor was more of what we were getting ourselves into than what we actually did, because I know a lot of us, it was presented as more of a actual trivia game, which is what The Floor is. So I found that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I've gotten that feedback too, and you know, I'm looking at The Floor, you know, I know you haven't seen it, Frank, but I would say that nine out of 10 of us would have done really well on that show, like really well. I think we all would have had our niche and our category, and we would have, I think, you know, and last night I thought of you, Charlie, and real quick, I know Frank, you haven't seen it, but so
sports movies.
Yeah, dude. I'm like, so I'm watching
the sports
whole
movies
episode.
Category. And it was, it was just, I was like, that would have been perfect for me.
What happened was this guy, Nicholas, who is a great guy. I talked with him on Instagram. He kept winning these matches, you know, and on the floor, the more land you get, so to speak, the more of a target you are, because you're basically, everyone wants to go after you to get 20 grand, because you get 20 grand at the end of the night for winning the most of The Floor. And so he kept being battled and battled, and he finally went back to the floor and he's like, let someone else challenge me in this category because I feel like, you know, I could do okay in it. And of course, the one guy that gets the randomizer is like the sports guy. Like, and apparently, from what I've understood in the cast, he is the Charlie. I mean, he knows his sports inside and out. Like, he, so when it hit on hit him and to pick, he had a choice between, I think, Charlie, two categories, right? And
yeah,
sports movies was one of them. I was like, and immediately I went to you, Charlie, and I was like, that would have been an epic battle for you to go against this dude in sports movies. Like,
so one of the clues that he got stuck on is an older movie, but is takes place off of the famous Little 500 bike race at IU, which I went to. So the second that popped up, I'm screaming, breaking away. And he's just sitting there. He was wasted like a good 3-4 seconds. Then
as soon as you said bike,
and it threw him. I know.
Breaking away.
And I get that not everyone would know that, but being an IU guy right away, I mean, there's literally an entire week of partying in Indiana based off of that.
Oh, wow. So,
it was like made that category. The hard ones were even easy for me. So,
but, you know, I have my pop culture confidence, but you would have kicked my butt in that category without it. You would have kicked my butt, buddy. There's no doubt at all. Yeah, sports movies is not. So next week on Tuesday, there's a 2-hour finale of The Floor. They're the last two episodes, they film them separately. And they're just going to play them back to back. And so that'll be interesting. And of course, Wednesday is the season finale of our awesome show, We Are Family, which is hosted by Joel McHale.
Another two-parter.
Guys, I will say those were so much fun. Those episodes.
So much fun.
They were so much fun. Like, and I was like, you know, here I am brand new to the set. Like, I was excited, as you know, anyway, but just because of the celebrities that are on that episode, Frank, you will relate to this a little bit, Charlie, too. I mean, I was like, wow. We went off that first episode, you know, and for those that don't know, most of the time we taped, except with the exception of the first two episodes, we taped two episodes a day. Yeah. So we would basically tape, go in, change, go through wardrobe, tape an episode. Well, wait a lot. There's a lot of waiting.
Wait.
Around. A lot of
studio. Play games, draw.
You name it. Like color. Jenga, color.
Jenga, categories.
Yeah. And so we would tape an episode, and then we would go back and have lunch. They would give us these plastic ponchos so we wouldn't get our clothes dirty. And then we'd go and tape a second episode. And so we did that for most episodes. So these two episodes that were taped with Joel McHale were taped on the same day. And it was just so much fun. That day was great.
Yes.
You know, of course we missed Anthony, but it was just, I mean, Joel, that I was like, I hadn't been with, you know, a show with Anthony yet. So Joel was my first exposure to We Are Family, and to see the way he interacts with Mama, it's just great.
Nice too. He was like, in some of the downtime, he was like taking questions from people. I know a bunch of people got to ask about the Community movie, which he said is definitely in the works. And since then I've seen more articles about it. So that was cool how, you know, open he was about things like that.
Did you hear when I asked him about Chevy Chase?
Yes.
I do remember that. I have to ask you, Frank. So we talked about this last week, Frank. The episode where Joel with Michelle Williams and Joel McHale, Adam's episode, right? That episode taped after the finale. So did you get Joel McHale right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course I did. I was shocked that many people did not. I was like, oh, we made that much money off of this one? Y'all really did? He was just here yesterday.
Yeah. Well, sometimes some people got caught on Chicago and Murray and
me. Him talking about Seattle the entire day before.
Yeah.
He was just completely not on my radar. And then by the end of it, I thought, well, it could be him, but I wasn't certain enough, you know.
Go ahead. I don't want to talk over you, buddy.
The clue that really threw me the most was the animal catcher clue. I thought that specifically was Foxcatcher, which still had me on my original Bill Murray. So I'm like, oh man, I'm just gonna keep it. It's not worth switching for a few hundred bucks. So I just kept it.
You know,
Bill Murray don't even have a phone. You know, he's not coming out the sphere, bro.
I wish I would have thought about that better. But like some of the other celebrities were like, you know, I'm doing this for my relative. I thought, you know, maybe that's what he's doing it for. I probably
and he's a goofball. Switched. That would have been one of the greatest moments of all time if he had come out the sphere, though. In my life, I would have lost it.
Oh, me too. I love Bill Murray. So we have the floor finale and We Are Family finale next week. We had an awesome episode last night with Kenny, a star player, won a lot of money. The downside of Kenny being star player is it was the first episode that was taped, so we didn't see him anymore.
I know. I remember him talking about that in his speech that night. He said, I can't believe, like, it felt great to go on and be the star player. But he's like, I don't want to leave you guys already after, you know, a few days. So that was the one downside to him being first. But, yeah, he was so nice. I really enjoyed getting to know him in that, even in just for that one night.
Absolutely. Me too. Absolutely. Do you follow baseball, Frank, at all? Are you a baseball guy?
I'm not. I used to be a baseball guy. My favorite player of all time is Barry Bonds.
Oh, and Barry Bonds.
The whole steroid era really turned me away from baseball because that was my era.
We grew up in the same era. Sosa, yeah.
McGuire, Bonds, Clemens, Randy Johnson, Glavin, Maddox, Will Clark, Frank Thomas, all those guys. And a lot of them were on enhancement drugs. But we knew at the time. It's not like that was a surprise then. And they made all this money off of me. I was buying jerseys. I was buying hats, posters, going to games. And all this money they made off of me. And then they're like, oh, no, those guys aren't Hall of Famers. They cheated. I was like, really? Really?
Yeah.
Y'all? And I tried to watch baseball, and just that put when I realized they really were not going to put them in the Hall of Fame, I kind of was like, "Nah, I'm good."
So does that mean you were a Phillies guy in that era?
No, I was a Barry Bonds guy.
So
I started Pirates, out Pittsburgh Pirates, and he was the only Pirates. Person that I ever jumped teams. Because I'm a 49ers guy because of Jerry Rice. I'm a Rangers guy because of Mark Messier. I'm a Spurs guy because of David Robinson. And Barry Bonds was the first time that I started out as a Pirates fan, and then he jumped to the Giants. And to this day, when I watch baseball, that's the team I root for is the Giants. But I don't really have much of a rooting interest anymore.
Got it. But hey, it Barry goes Bonds hand in hand with the
coach on the Marlins, too.
Yeah,
Barry Bonds was the coach on the Marlins. Yeah.
I remember that. I remember that.
I was impressed that they hired Barry Bonds. I thought that whole era, and you and I grew up in basically the same era of sports. I mean, that was my driving when McGuire and Sosa were going after it, you know, and the chase, and then Griffey Jr. got into the mix, and that was such great baseball. Those summers were just amazing. Everyone went to the park to see, you know, who would. Chicago was lit with Sosa there, and you know, I mean, it was just a great time.
That chase was one of the great narratives in sports history, because at a certain point you were like, oh, these guys really might get it, because it didn't seem plausible to hit 61, because for so many years nobody was doing it. And even Juice, it's not just about the power, it's about you got to get pitched to, and then you got to get lucky, and then they just took off and they were going back and forth. So it wasn't just that it was one person, it was that it was the chase for 61, but also a chase for the home run title. That was awesome. I love that summer.
That really was fun.
I'll never forget it. Like, and I wasn't, you know, I'm a big Mets fan, and I wasn't even following my own team back then. I was just watching McGuire and Sosa and Griffey Jr. and seeing what was happening. I mean, that's all I care about. That whole chase. So all right. Yeah, it's an important part of baseball, but I don't blame you for being jaded to that. And I understand that 100%. And I think the future we might see things different. I feel like the winds, I don't know about how you feel about it, Charlie, but the winds are kind of turning a little bit in that aspect, and people looking at the Hall of Famer ballot a little bit
Yeah,
more.
they got more votes this year. The voting is starting to
Alex
reflect that a little
Rodriguez
bit.
got votes, yeah. So yeah, and I don't
Who's
like
the
Alex
commissioner now?
Rodriguez
I don't
either.
even follow that closely. Who's commissioner now?
Manfred.
Rob
Manfred.
Manfred. And he just announced that he will be finishing at his term in like January of 29. So it's like his
Nobody
last
likes
like
him.
5 or 6 seasons.
Fans do,
Yeah, I've heard a little
fans
bit.
do not like him at all. We do
Is
not like
in
him.
fairness, is there a single sport that fans actually like the commissioner?
Never,
I
never.
don't
Not
think so.
anymore. You're right.
Yeah, I think that that's just kind of the
I think
job.
it's more elevated in baseball than in other sports. I think, well, the last couple of years too, they've had the rule changes, and I mean, those went over like a lead brick for some people, and so they lowered the they brought in the
Pitch
I
clock.
can't the pitch clock, and then they brought in the players from being out, depending on how they how the player plays, and players couldn't go that far off of their base. Now they have to be
Shift
brought in.
limitations.
Thank you. The shift. Yeah.
Yeah, they have to have
Wow.
two
Yeah.
on each
I have
side
not
of
heard
the.
about these things.
Yeah. As
Yeah.
for a
So, I
baseball fan,
mean,
I actually think they did well with the rule changes
interesting.
personally.
Yeah. A lot of players, a lot of fans do think that. It took me a while to come on to the pitch clock. But I think it does speed up the game, and I
It's
like that.
so much better. And I remember thinking when I first heard about it as a traditionalist, I was a little opposed, but the pitch clock is like one of the greatest things they could have done.
Yeah,
All
I
they
agree
did
with
was
that.
get rid of dead time. That's it. It's not taking away anything from the game. You're still seeing the same action you saw in the normal game. You're just not having to wait 35 seconds between pitches sometimes if people
And
are stepping off and
the attention span of today's fan is not long. Like they just can't deal with that.
yeah.
Like,
And then the one thing I wanted to add was I still don't know if Manfred is the least liked commissioner, because as a big football guy, Frank, you probably will know this too.
yeah,
I don't know I've
Goodell for
ever seen
sure.
someone
Roger
get booed
Goodell.
more than Goodell when he goes up to announce the first round picks in the draft.
He's the
It's
worst.
just
Nobody likes Roger Goodell.
constant booing, like constant.
Why is that? As a
I'm a
layman, I'm
boo
not a big football fan.
man.
Why is that though? Why Goodell? Why does Goodell have so much hate?
Because he has too much power, even though it's the power of the owners, but he's the proud face of the owners, and so he apologizes away everything. So the referees can be absolutely garbage, and he just explains that away. He defends it, The penalties make no sense. One guy gets suspended 4 games for I don't even know, like gamble. No, for like you'll get fined $75,000 for wearing socks that you shouldn't be wearing. And then another guy has multiple abuse, accusations, allegations and stuff. No suspension, no fine whatsoever. So then you have those type of,
That sounds familiar in
hypocrisy.
baseball too. Yeah.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
then the game itself feels like it's a moneymaker too much. Like the Taylor Swift stuff. That's another blemish on his mark because a lot of people just feel like he's just trying to make money. He's too craven. And the owners are craven, but he's the one that's the face of it. So really, you should be mad at these billion-dollar owners, but it's him. And then on top of that, he makes something like
Yeah, like
$150 million
50 billion,
a
something
year.
crazy.
And
Yeah.
they had that hidden, but then it got exposed because they used to be a nonprofit. The NFL used to be a nonprofit
That's
organization
crazy.
as short as like 15 years ago, 12 years ago.
I just looked it up. $63.9 million annually is his salary.
Jeez, I
That's
want his
insane. So that's
game.
more
That's
than any player. So
insane.
he makes
Jeez.
more money than any player in the NFL.
We'll switch gears a little bit. Movies.
Okay.
So what were your reaction to some of the Academy Award noms? Because you're a big movie guy.
Like everybody else, let me start by saying, I think this was one of the best movie years in a long, long time. There were
Yes.
legitimately 10 movies that could have been nominated for Best Picture, unlike a lot of years. There were 12, 13, 14, because there were movies that I thought would have gotten nominated. Iron Claw, for example, talking about sports movies. I know that's a wrestling movie, but I thought Iron Claw easily could have got a nomination for Best Picture.
I thought it got snubbed hard.
Across the Spider-Verse, I know it's animated and people don't necessarily love animated movies like that. I would have given that a Best Picture nomination.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I thought it was a really, really strong year with a lot of really strong nominations. I have no quibble with the Best Picture nominations. And even some of the ones like Best Director, Best Actor, like the Barbie thing, I watched that with Top Gun Maverick last year. Like, it made $1.5 billion. They're going to give it an obligatory Best Picture nomination, but they're not going to take it as serious. They're going to put some foreign movie that we didn't know about. And this year was Anatomy of a Fall, which was also excellent. I saw that after the nominations, and I was like, excellent film. Excellent film. The directing is great. I have not seen Naiad, but she didn't need to be nominated. You know, she has her nominations. That would be Annette Bening. She's been nominated before. Nobody's checking for that movie. They just appeasing Netflix. You could have given that to Margot Robbie. But, you know, for the most part, I kind of agree with the nominations. Holdovers, Alexander Payne, he didn't get a Best Director nomination either. If you had taken somebody else out, it might have gone to him instead of Greta Gerwig anyway. You know, some people think he was snubbed. Some people think that was the best movie of the year. So it was a really strong year with a lot of really good movies. Ironically, my favorite movie of the year was Steampunk Barbie, Poor Things, as we call in our circle, Steampunk Barbie, which, full disclosure, that movie was very provocative. Very provocative.
That's what I heard. Almost every scene I heard. We were gonna go see that on Tuesday, but the times didn't work. Or, I mean, Monday, but the timings didn't work out. So we ended up watching The Holdovers because we could just stream it.
How'd you feel about Holdovers?
I liked it. I don't know if I saw the like 12 out of 10 that a lot of people were giving it, and I enjoyed it. Maybe I read too much hype going into it, so my expectations were a little higher, but I did enjoy it. How did you feel about it?
The opposite way, but similar. I don't think it was like a banger, you know? I don't think it was like a classic, but that director, I don't like his movies. I did not like Nebraska. I did not like Sideways. I did not like Downsizing. And Paul Giamatti is hit or miss with me because sometimes he can be too over the top. To theory. And so I went into this movie expecting to not like it at all.
Got it.
And instead, I was charmed by it. And I thought that Giamatti was much more subtle than he usually is with the character that could have been way over the top. And the movie could have been way more emotionally manipulative, where instead it kind of just let the story play out and let the beats, you know, create the emotion more than like music in your face. It's really sad moments and him really crying. It felt like normal people, but I don't think it was at the standard of some of the other movies that came out this year.
Yeah.
So this is other people's. The Holdovers is about like a college at during Christmas time or something like that. I saw the preview or something like that.
Yes.
Okay.
Essentially,
Giamatti is in one of my favorite movies of all time. I love Howard Stern's Private Parts. He played Pig Vomit, which is his boss. And it's just that was one of his first films. And ever since that movie, I've been a big fan of Paul Giamatti. So I haven't seen The Holdovers yet, but I definitely want to check it out.
Yeah, that one's you can stream on Peacock. So that one's on check it out for your list.
Yes. I did make.
Do either of y'all do the Barbieheimer?
I've seen both.
My feeling is from reading everything that Oppenheimer is going to win a lot of awards. I think it just swept the British Oscars.
Yes. So, yes.
Yeah. We'll see.
That one's on Peacock now too, Tim. So you can add it to your list.
I have to check it out. Charlie's always trying to help me with my list.
Oppenheimer has some of the best acting of the year, bar none. bar none. Really. That movie is carried by the acting and the Nolan-esque moments. He does something that nobody else in Hollywood can do. And it's hard to describe, but he just has this magic of creating moments and tension. Tension that builds, and sometimes it's like a 30-minute tension in this movie, or a 15-minute tension in this movie, or a 5-minute tension. But he does it, and he uses all the tools in the tool chest, whether it's Dark Knight or Inception or Interstellar.
His Batman's my favorite.
The imagery.
Yeah. Love Chris.
The imagery is great. The sound, he really gets you with the sound and stuff. But yeah, the imagery is excellent. And sometimes acting, directing actors isn't his strongest suit. Mm-hmm. He can get good performances out of people, but he's more of the technical director. But there was a lot of just really strong acting across the board in so many moments in this. So I get why they will probably reward this movie, although you never can say never in the Academy Oscars history. They will pick Anatomy of the Fall, and everybody will be like, what? They love picking movies that nobody's ever going to talk about. Shape of Water, Spotlight, Green Book. Like, nobody's checking for those movies. So I'm always skeptical. I always think they're going to pick something weird at the end anyway. So we'll see.
Have you seen all of the nominees for Best Picture, Frank?
Or are you missing? Yes, and I've been doing that for about 7 years. I think 7 out of 8 years I've seen all of the Best Picture nominations.
What was your favorite of the 10?
Poor Things.
Poor Things.
Poor Things was my favorite of the 10.
What is that film about?
Well...
Oh,
Frank can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's basically, it's like a spoof's not the right word, but it's like a
reimagining.
There you go. Reimagining.
It's a reimagining of the Frankenstein story as a discovery of self.
Oh,
it's about the journey of this Bella Baxter character who is essentially a Frankenstein of sorts, trying to discover who she is. And a lot of it is sexual discovery, which is why I say it's a lot of nudity and a lot of sex, but it's also very smart. And it's one of my favorite character journeys I've ever seen in any movie ever, because of where the character starts, where the character ends, and how authentic the arc feels. It's not rushed. It's not, you know, exaggerated. It really feels normal and natural. And so it just, and her performance is magnificent, dynamite. But it's also like weirdly funny, like weirdly hilarious. There are a lot of laugh out loud moments, but there's also some very touching moments. And again, one more time, Emma Stone, one of the greatest performances I've seen. It's just great. And bold. Wow. It's bold. Very bold.
Humor. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. Wow.
Yeah. But it's very provocative. I need anybody that watches this.
Don't watch it with my mom or anything like
Do
that.
Do not. And I mean that.
Weirdness there. That's, yeah. Mom, let's watch Poor Things.
somebody I work with went on a date with somebody that they were courting to see it, and they were like, oh my gosh, like clutching their pearls, like, oh, I didn't know.
That's great.
Oh my goodness gracious, I got the vapors. Love it. Oh, so I'm excited for the Academy Awards. Charlie, I'm trying to get the movies off my list. I'm working on movies that are not even up for nomination this year, but that's okay. But yeah, I'll definitely work. Oppenheimer is like right at the top, though. I need to see that before the awards, just because
you do. Yeah, Oppenheimer is a must see.
And I'm gonna see that one, but by myself.
Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer isn't as bad as that goes. I think you could see that with
America. No, yeah. I could see it with Erica. Yeah.
Across the Spider-Verse was so magnificent to me. It really knocked my socks off because I love the first one.
Yeah,
is it nominated in the animated category?
Is it? It is.
Yeah, it is.
It is. But the way that they textured this one with the different worlds and the different worlds felt like different worlds was an accomplishment that I've never seen before in an animated film. That like Spider-Punk's Spider-Verse is different from Miles, is different from Gwen's. And they just, it really knocked my socks off. I love that movie. I love it.
I have to check it
out. I kind of went that to pull the upset.
I have to check it out. I've been a Spider-Man fan since I was a kid. So anything He's Spider-Man best. Related.
You've
I,
seen the first one, Tim?
I have, yeah. I'm adding it to my list. Charlie knows all about it. Charlie, do you have an unboxing?
I do have a. Well, it's
Frank,
it's
are you game for this?
It's an honor of Frank. It's an honor of Frank.
I'm ready. So I'm ready.
I won't have to struggle cutting it open since this one was already cut open.
Oh.
But it seemed like the perfect one to do with Frank here today.
Is that a hint in itself?
That is a hint in itself, yes. So Tim does not do football that great. We had a practice run that you're from Philly. So we had a practice one where it was young wide receiver Devonta Smith, and he could not have been more lost. So now that we got you here, I think this one will go a little better. This okay. is similar. It is a younger NFL star player
okay.
who would maybe be maybe be one of your favorite players, maybe not the favorite, but in your realm, I would imagine. Okay. He just recently played in a Super Bowl, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He was a trendy pick for MVP, but he got hurt a little bit, missed some plays, came back. You probably know who it is already.
So what was the first play? You said a younger player.
Younger.
But you didn't say the position.
Correct.
You did not say the position.
I did not say the position.
Okay. And he's young-ish.
He's probably,
I'm going to go with injuries.
Yeah, people thought he was going to be out for the game, but then he came back in the Super Bowl. He went into the blue tent for just a moment or two, and everyone's like, oh, no, and then he came back, and Niners fans probably had a big sigh of relief because he's a big part of their offense.
I'm going to go with – you said the MVP threw me off because the blue tent – that game was a blur.
I'm going to go with CMC. MVP pick.
Huh?
He was a trendy MVP pick.
I'm going to go with CMC.
Close.
Christian McCaffrey.
It's a guy who gets the ball probably second most to CMC.
All right. Brock Purdy. Blue tent. Then I know who it is. Blue tent. That would have to be Deebo Samuel.
Ding, 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 ding.
Boom!
Deebo. Nice. I don't know if for those that are just listening, he's wearing a red 49ers jersey. It's a little hard to see here, but it's one of the big heads.
Deebo.
The base is, it's got the big San Francisco 49er logo on the bottom there. You can kind of see it.
That's Deebo.
Gold pants. Deebo. Love Deebo. Love me some Deebo.
Shout out to Deebo.
Let me ask you a question. Go ahead.
I would say I was going to give you another hint on he has his name is a famous character in a movie franchise, but that would have been too obvious. Yes. That would have given it away.
The MVP one is the one that threw me off because of the fact that he was in there for a while. I should have got it with the injury because he did get injured a few times.
Yep. But CMC
is my guy. CMC is my guy, man.
Yep. I do have a CMC one somewhere as well. Maybe I'll put that out for you next time.
Nice.
But I love Deebo. Deebo, man. He's one of a kind.
He's so fun to watch.
Frank, where? Speaking of 49ers, where did Brock Purdy come from? Like, he just, like,
Mr. came Irrelevant.
Onto the scene.
Mr.
Like,
Irrelevant.
Unbelievable. Like,
Mr. Irrelevant.
He was drafted last?
Was
he
last single like, last pick.
Yes.
This kid is astonishing to me. Like, all of a sudden, we're talking about Brock Purdy, and I mean, and you have so many, and your team has a good number of superstars on it, I will say. But Brock Purdy is like not a name that anybody really was in anybody's universe a year ago. And it just was like,
no,
Where? What? Like, you heard of Nick
if you're a
Bosa or
49ers
anything?
fan,
Yeah.
it's insane. It's insane because they traded three picks for our quarterback of the future, and he played four games for us. There's a scenario where Brock Purdy is still on the bench, and we never know how good he is.
That's insane,
And we
yeah.
have a quarterback that's slightly better, but or slightly worse. But no, Brock Purdy is the man. No, I'm not even going to do that to Brock Purdy. He is the man.
He really is.
I bought in last year. By the time that they made the playoffs, I was like, oh, this guy can sling the ball, because the 49ers haven't had a gunslinger. Here's the thing. Everybody talks about football and they talk about quarterbacks and they say game manager or playmaker. And yet my favorite type of quarterback is the third that they never talk about, which is a gunslinger. I like quarterbacks who go out there and throw for 300 yards, throw for 400 yards, throw for four touchdowns, get the ball to all the different playmakers. That's my favorite. I love prolific offenses. Going back to Jim Kelly, that was the thing that Peyton Manning did, Drew Brees, and the 49ers haven't had one of them since Jeff Garcia with T.O.,
Garcia,
and that was a long
yeah.
time ago, and he wasn't as successful. So before that, you're going back to Steve Young, who people say is a playmaker, but he was a game manager, playmaker, and gunslinger all in one, which is
Well,
what
Joe
made him so
Montana too,
special.
right? Montana too.
Montana,
Yeah.
unfortunately, I didn't get a lot of Montana. I got the tail end of 49ers Montana. So he's not my 49ers quarterback. Steve Young is
Right.
my 49ers quarterback. I got to
Yeah.
see him. I watched him, but that was when I was first a fan, first watching. And then he got hurt in the Giants game to go to the Super Bowl. That was like, that was when I knew I
I
loved the
remember
49ers, because I cried. I was
that.
like crying, like, oh
My
man,
dad
this is
was a
horrible.
big Giants fan, so I remember that. And I was following the Giants
Yeah.
at that time. I'm sorry. But yeah, I was
Yeah.
following the Giants at the time. Yeah. They
That
ended up winning the Super Bowl, so there
that's
you
what
go.
started Buffalo's sadness. That was the wide
Don't
right
start. Yeah, I
Buffalo.
know. Trust me. My dad was a Giants fan and I'm a Bills fan, so I was but
Oh no.
you know,
Oh.
Josh Allen reminds me a lot of Brock Purdy, like similar kind of that ethic. And so he started off pretty slow too. He didn't start off like boom either. So, I mean,
Except Josh Allen is built like a
yeah,
superhero.
a brick
That's
wall.
crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
And he was a
Brock
high
Purdy
pick.
is a little guy. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But
Brock
they,
Purdy's
you
hard to
know, the
not root
thing is
for for the
they
little
are
guy.
gunslingers. That's what they do. Their mentality is push the ball,
Push the
get
ball out.
points, get that ball out. You know,
Yeah.
he and they both are like Josh Allen. He's like a Cam Newton type runner. But Brock Purdy has this wiggle to him that people really don't understand until they watch him. Like, he can get out on the move and he can throw on the run and stuff like that. That's that they really have games that are really complimentary. And I wanted to see Buffalo versus San Francisco in the Super Bowl. I
Me
really,
too.
really did.
Me
Me
too.
too.
Charlie and I talked
Me
about
too.
that. Yeah.
I
I was
wanted
hoping for
Buffalo and
that.
Baltimore and San Francisco or Detroit. That was my desired AFC NFC championship weekend. So that way I didn't have to root for someone I didn't want to see in there. And then of course Kansas City gets there again.
I'm so tired of the Chiefs. I'm
I'm so
so tired
tired of
of them.
Travis Kelce. I'm
Tired.
so tired
I'm
of
tired of Travis
Patrick
Kelce.
Mahomes.
I'm tired of them holding every week. I'm tired of teams not like playing to their strengths. Buffalo, Baltimore, and San Francisco in back-to-back-to-back weeks played into the hands of Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why? Why would you do that?
They
Don't you just let them go?
I get a similar feeling of the Chiefs as I did back way back with the New England Patriots. Like I as a Bills fan, ooh. And people are like, "Well, then you should be rooting for the Chiefs because they beat the Bills." I'm like, "Heck no.
No, that's not how
No.
this
I don't
calculus
want
works.
them. No." I was like 49ers all the way. Like I was like,
Yeah.
"No. I am not. I'm rooting for the NFC team. If your AFC team beats my team, I don't care. I don't want you there. I
Yeah,
don't care."
there's no bonus points for saying you lost to the Super Bowl champion.
Exactly. Like,
Yes,
and I'm done.
exactly.
Like, with
Not like you get an extra draft pick for it.
I personally think, and I'm a little biased, I'll admit, I think the Bills are a Super Bowl team within the next couple of years for sure. I think they may even face the 49ers. I see the 49ers being in the Super Bowl again. I think this
Yeah,
team is strong
49ers are not
enough
going anywhere.
and they're not going anywhere. So,
And
yeah.
I still like to think if Greenlaw doesn't go down, that that's a different game. Because he was
Yeah.
flying over the everywhere in that first quarter.
That was a
Every
close
time you
game.
looked up, Greenlaw was standing up, flexing after a big tackle. Man, he's a freak.
My fear with both the Bills and the 49ers is
Can't pay everybody.
the coach, no, the coach
Oh, the
in the
coach.
tight moments, do you know how to manage the game?
You're
I
right.
feel like in these important moments, they haven't learned from their defeats before. They do the same things that got them in trouble last time.
They're not
And
watching the
that's my
film.
biggest concern.
Yeah. I'm on the same page with you with that. And same in any sport. I feel like a manager, a coach can make or break a really good team. Like you could have the best players possible, but that alone is not. You get the engine on a train, but without the conductor, the train is not going to go anywhere. And it's kind of that
Period.
same concept.
Period.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I hope that leadership looks at that. And that's kind of that's my to not go off the soft topic of football, but and with my Mets too, that's my concerns with this new manager that we have. It's the same thing. You could have the best players possible, but if you have a coach that or a manager that just doesn't have the oomph to make the moves and to put the people in the right positions, you're not going to have that championship team. You're absolutely right.
Exactly.
Oh,
But
fellas,
hopefully
this has
they do
been.
learn. Hopefully
Yeah.
they learn.
The
This
Niners
is
will be back. The Niners will be back.
the pop culture leaderboard right now. We've been talking about the Chiefs, right? Pop diva leaderboard, I want to say.
Oh, yeah. I want to.
I'm flummoxed. I'm flummoxed by this Taylor Swift thing. I get that it's marketing. I understand that you see her everywhere and people have this connection with her and she does these shows and stuff. Let's really talk about this because right now, got Beyonce doing country music out here, got people in the streets, doing their line dancing.
I did a
I'm a
little bit of
big Dua
it.
Lipa fan.
Texas
Love
Hold'em.
myself some Dua Lipa. She just came out with another banging Training Season. I'm
Love
like, can
Dua
she get
Lipa.
some love? She was just in Argyle. Beautiful, great songs. Bop. She follows in the bop queen status of like your Madonnas and your Rihannas and your Lady Gagas. And then you got Mariah Carey just made her comeback. That's Queen Mother with her daughter Ariana Grande. Just wonderful. Ariana Grande and Mariah Carey, like, let's go. Let's go. And then you got youngins like Olivia Rodrigo. You got Miley Cyrus just won her first Grammy ever. Just won her first Grammy ever. And
Crazy.
Taylor Swift has more album of the years than any artist in the history of music. Music.
Yeah.
That's over any Michael Jackson's, that's over any Stevie Wonder's, any Bruce Springsteen's, any Billy Joel's, any Pearl Jam's, any Beatles, anybody, everybody, Madonna, Gaga. I'm just like,
Why is
how do
that?
these machines get to the point where she's so head and shoulders ahead of all of these other talented artists, all of these other talented pop stars. I don't get it. I had to get that off my chest because this is a pop culture podcast, and I just
Yeah,
like
no, you're
every
not
time I'm
wrong.
like,
So
You are not wrong.
I'm not a Swiftie. I don't mean to upset any Swifties in the, I know there are Swifties out there. I don't understand it. I mean, I think something similar, and Frank, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't it kind of happen with Madonna years ago too? Like that same type of where she just kind of dominated and
I mean,
never
yes, but
anybody to the level of Swift though.
she was not. Yeah, she was never. What my point is that she was never head and shoulders above of her contemporaries. Like
Right.
she was the most talked about because she was the most provocative. But like Taylor Swift, again, awards, sales, movies. She's on the NFL every week. It's like she has a new TV show. It's called NFL on CBS every week.
Yeah.
I'm just I'm like
She's in the pocket, it's like I think the Grammy Awards, people were surprised at the nominations and the lack of nominations and people that were snubbed. And I get it. I mean, I you know, you get to the point where you she's great, but you don't want it to necessarily be the Taylor Swift show, right? And that was like that with TV for years, and Oprah would always win all the TV awards and talk shows, and
But
you
this is what I
want.
mean. It's perfect that she's with the Chiefs, which is what's so annoying about it, because we're over and they just shove it down our throat. More, more, more. Ah, no more.
I
No
said to
more.
Charlie, I like, could Travis Kelce and his brother just go away, please?
They're not going nowhere. They about to
Really?
have little Tay Tay Swizz. And by the way, I call her Tay Tay Swizzle, so they're not Swifties, they're Swizzlers. They're Swizzlers.
Love that.
Swizzlers. They
Love
about to
that.
have a little Kelce Swift Swizzler baby, and everybody's going to be talking about that. This baby going to have this big gigantic head, going to be 4 years old and 5 foot 9. It's going to be annoying. It's going to be annoying.
Peacock is taking advantage of that now too. You can now restream Catching Kelce, that reality dating show he did back in like 2015 or whatever.
Ew,
You can now
ew,
stream it on Peacock.
ew.
How about no? How about
I was
no?
like, the Swifties are gonna watch that and find more reasons to
Yeah.
dislike him.
I can't stand him. And
Facts.
when he did that thing with the coach at the Super Bowl, and people were like,
Disgusting.
I was like, there he
Cold
is.
blooded.
That's him. That's who he is.
That's
No, he
him.
could, you could put lipstick on or whatever, if you know what I'm saying, but it's gonna be whatever it is. And I said, that's Travis Kelce. And people are like, oh, the Swifties, it's amazing how the Swifties really came to the defense. It's like, oh, it's during a game, it's during a game. I'm like, are you kidding me
No,
right
that's
now?
not how
Like,
this
you guys
works.
were
You don't even
crying
know.
for years that Taylor Swift was being bullied by different artists like out there, and all of a sudden he's basically doing that to his coach, but it's okay. It's like the double standard. Like, what?
Yeah. The mental gymnastics these stans put themselves through.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj and her people and all, it's the standom needs to chill. They lose all sense of logic and just go out of their
Like,
mind to
why can't you
defend their
be
person.
critical? Like, why can't you just say if something is not right, it's not right? Like,
Exactly.
I'm a fan of Billy
Exactly.
Joel. If Billy Joel put up crap, I would say it's crap. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the way it
Absolutely.
is. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, hopefully the Pop Diva leaderboard will change soon, and we'll see some more variety out there.
Hopefully. Lady
But
Gaga, let's get some music. Got the movie. Let's go.
I hope you pop on Instagram with us next week when we go live. I would love to have you on, and I know Charlie feels the same way. We love you, man.
Yeah.
Hey,
Thanks.
thank
Thanks
you
for help.
so
Thanks for
much.
joining us today. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I had a blast. Thank you so much for having me on here. Anytime, guys, anytime. This was wonderful. I really appreciate it. Shout out to the family. We are family. We'll be on
Yeah.
2 hour
Can't wait.
season finale next Wednesday. Joel McHale, special guest host. Myself, Tim, Charlie, the whole family. Hey, thank you so much again. Check us out.
Oh.
Keep checking us out. We're on Hulu too. And hey, I can't wait to come back to the podcast, y'all, around the bases. Let's go.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank,
Appreciate you.
for
Appreciate you a
just
lot.
bringing the light to us today. And we do, I agree with Charlie. We appreciate you. And we are going to be live next Tuesday night after the floor finale at 10 o'clock on Instagram. We're going to record it live, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So hopefully a bunch of us will kind of come on and talk about the finale the following day. And Frank, thanks so much for joining us. This is the Around the Bases podcast, the pop culture and sports podcast. I'm Tim Sternberg with
Charlie Seymour, and special guest today.
Frank, representing, frankly speaking. Thank you so
Yeah.
much, guys.
And until next time, see you. Bye, everybody.